I mean, I one of my who's my middle school English teacher, who I despised, but she did have a intelligent saying or I don't know, catchphrase or whatever of English is a screwed up, messed up language, which is basically just her caveat anytime she taught us something that didn't make sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. It's like three different languages wearing a trench coat.
More or less.
But honestly, most of my issues are with the writing, the spelling. The spelling, importing spelling from the French and from the Latin and from the Germanic is such a mess.
Yeah, that's why none of the rules make sense.
My Spanish brain cannot comprehend.
Or Spanish is like, everything is what it sounds like.
Yeah, there's no ambiguity. There's like three things that are ambiguous and they don't matter much. They don't get in the way. So, oh my God. Well, let's do this. Nerds, welcome to Powerful, the Power Metal Podcast, the best place to be to listen to the most powerful metal and all of our powerful opinions. I am hosting, that's what podcast people say, again, Fernando.
You're doing great.
And with me is, as usual, my dear friend that interrupts me, the great and wonderful Kyle. How's it going, Kyle?
That's me. It's going good. I'm here finally. To have a nice little discussion with you about Prague Power USA.
Yeah, we are very, very sorry, but the weekend of Prague Power, I got really sick, which hasn't happened in a very long time, several years.
Yeah, well, like, coming back from Prague Power, I got sick, and then, like, a week after that, you got sick, and it's just been a rough ride to get to this point.
Yeah, and right now, like, it's going around, right? A lot of shows have been canceled these past weeks in different parts of the world because everyone is sick. I guess it's the change of seasons that is affecting everyone. But we're here
Plague
now.
Power just, you know, it strikes all of us.
Yeah, but we're here now and we can do this. We're going to finally have our episode about Prog Power USA 2025, which Kyle has attended once again, as is now a tradition, I guess.
Yeah, this is, what, my, like, sixth Prague Power, something like that. So, you know, I'm not an old head, but, you know, I've been around a little while.
Yeah, that's decent attendance. It's not like me that just went to one, and I'm not even in the country. But,
poser.
I'm looking forward to hearing about this one, because this is a very important one. It's the second to last of the original run, we could say.
Yes, this was number 24, and Glenn, the main guy, is going to be retiring after tour number 25, which is next year. And so there's this this real feeling of like, oh man, we're almost there, and what's going to happen with the state of the country and the difficulties of being a power metal event, and then just Glenn retiring. It seems like the other guys are going to take over, and it'll be a shorter event, but it will continue. That's the assumption that's been made so far. So we'll get into this year, and which they said pretty much is straight up like, it's difficult every year for Prague Power, and it was the most difficult year this year, just with so many bands canceling or having visa issues, or just, it always happens. It always gets worse. So I reached a point where I completely just stopped paying attention to the lineup because I am like, I'm not even going to get invested. Like half the bands I was most excited for already dropped. So everything else that happens is just whatever. I'll be surprised when I get there.
Yeah. Because we were at the point this year where basically every week everyone was, what is getting canceled now? Who's going to replace who? And you just, at the end, you just trust. If you like the vibe, you're going anyways, so don't get too attached.
Yeah. I'll listen to music, I'll have some drinks, I'll hang out with some people. It's a fine way to, take time off of work, okay?
Definitely. So, you want to get right into it. Give us the...
Let's get into it.
The deets.
So, now, to make excuses for myself, it's been a few weeks since the show. So I might not be as detailed as I typically am with the travelogue episodes here. I do have some notes for every band that I saw. So I'm not going to be like, who the fuck was that? So at least there's that. Also, unfortunately, our friend Alice, who I've been doing the Prog Power reviews with the last few years, did not attend this year. So it is just me, and Fernando gets to listen and ask, you know, pointed and thoughtful questions about the experience, or say, damn, that's crazy.
I am reacting. That's what it is. This is a react in real time. We just put two things
real
into one.
Real Argentinian reacts to Prog Power travelogue.
Yeah, reacting to typical USA person going to Power, Broke Power USA. In real time. We don't even need two videos.
Wow. Amazing. Okay. Enough nonsense. We'll kick it off. Day one of four. Kicking off with Ares Descendant. Now, this is a project of a mixture of Danish and American are the two guys. One of them formerly of Pyramaze is kind of where the main, I think, experience comes from. This is a symphonic metal band, and they really leaned into the whole like epic cinematic big sound in a way that I feel like most live bands it kind of sucks, but these guys, the whole epic keyboard part was really well integrated into the performance, so it felt appropriately epic for what they were trying to go for. It didn't just feel like, oh, yep, there's the backing track that I can't really hear, and then the guitars will be boring. No, this was actually a very good show. Probably one of the best like first bands I've seen at Prog Power. Now, this band being a two-piece, they had a bunch of guest musicians filling in for guitars and whatnot. One of whom, I believe, was Alex from Paladin, and I didn't quite catch who the other guys were, but for being like temporary fill-in musicians, I thought they... You know, all did great job performing on stage. The band members felt well integrated. If you went into this with no context, you wouldn't have known that this was, you know, the two main guys and, you know, some local dudes filling in. I was overall very impressed with this show. And I think this is a very cool project that they're doing here.
Nice. I'm sorry. Damn, that's wild.
it's damn, that's crazy.
Damn, that's crazy.
There you go. And speaking of real crazy, we're keeping the good times rolling with Secret Sphere. Now, Secret Sphere were one of the casualties of the Great Italian Massacre of 2019. I think it was 2019.
Yeah.
Where like three or four Italian bands all had visa issues and couldn't get in. So luckily, they stuck with it and were able to come back here. And this was one of those shows that after you're done, you're just like, damn, power metal's cool. Because, like, the whole time, it's just, you know, it's all killer, no filler. It's all fast songs. You got the shredding guitars, the shredding keyboards. It's everything you go to power metal for. And it just, it feels so good just to have just, that good Italian power metal. Like, Secret Sphere has been around for a while. They've, you know, gone through a number of eras, and I think they had a good variety on their set list here as well. They didn't play my favorite song, but, you know, whatever. They played plenty of other good ones. So, was very, very happy with Secret Sphere. I think pretty much every day of the festival, there was at least one band that really hit the just like, damn, power metal is some really cool stuff. Love all this. On top of whatever, you know, weirdness happens to go on at Prog Power.
Nice. Nice.
Plus there's the whole, you know, redemption arc of visa issues before.
Yeah, I would like to see Secret Sphere.
We definitely recommend it. I think it was like during the Secret Sphere performance, like a friend of ours who was like a big Secret Sphere fan was complaining about things going wrong at work. And I'm like, hey, you could have come here and seen Secret Sphere and told work to fuck off. But no, you fucked up.
You can't always do it. You know, sometimes it just doesn't line up.
Life is unfortunate like that.
Yeah.
All right. And then after Secret Sphere, we've got Eclipse. This is leaning more into like an old school hard rock AOR style of music. Maybe not the most traditional of prog metal or power metal. But I gotta say, they put on a really entertaining show. Like, these guys are on the older side and they're probably like the most high energy old dudes I've seen at one of these shows. So great stage presence and just really sold the whole thing. or I knew a couple people who were like most specifically there for Eclipse, which I thought was kind of surprising. But hey, they put on a very entertaining show, so I can't really fault them for that.
Cool. I mean, like, I'm sure like every band at this festival has at least a portion of people that are there for them, as weird as it might sound.
Yes. Speaking of people who are there for a specific band, I gotta say, I feel really bad for the people who were specifically there for the next band, being Green Carnation. Not because Green Carnation are bad, no, but they had the worst technical difficulties of any band I've ever seen at any live show I've been to.
Damn.
Quite possibly. Their show started an hour late.
Shit. A whole hour?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, so they're scheduled to have an hour and a half. The first hour was blown with, I don't even know what kind of technical issues it was. There were guys on stage, they were messing with stuff, who knows what. Which is a huge shame. Like, Reincarnation are like, a real prog heads prog band. Not really my thing. And we just seen them there a couple of years ago. But for the people who are like there specifically for them, and for, even just for the band who's, taking all this time and effort and money to get there, to lose all that, just some unfortunate bullshit. I do feel really bad for them.
That sucks.
Yeah. Now, luckily, so they had an hour and a half set. They actually were allowed to kick it up and go 15 minutes over. So they still played for 45 minutes. And I think they got to do a full album that they wanted to play through. So, still a decent chunk of show was still had there. But it is very unfortunate that it was only half of what was supposed to be.
Mm, yeah. At least a decent save, at least, if they managed to do that. So it's not a loss.
And Prog Power isn't as, harsh. They're not cracking the whip on the time schedule as much as I think some other shows are. I think Center Stage is a bit more lenient on, curfew stuff. Or maybe it's, the neighborhood laws or whatever. I'm sure there's lots of factors that can go into that. But luckily, there's enough flexibility there that they're still able to play a decent show.
Nice.
All right. And then the headliner for day one, the third or fourth string headliner after Hammerfall and Fabio had to drop for various reasons. Bringing it in, it was Visions of Atlantis, a band whose story I am endlessly fascinated by, as they hard pivoted from a mediocre symphonic metal band into a mediocre pirate symphonic metal band. But it seems to have worked for them, at least in terms of raising their their profile.
Yeah, they're definitely doing well.
Yeah, and their live show very much leans into, I'd say, the two lead singers really make it work. Because they're able to, banter off of each other. They're able to interact with each other, the different styles of singing, interact with the guitarists. So that's the main thing that I would say is their appeal. And they have the catchy choruses. Now, they do the thing where the bulk of the melody for their songs is coming from the backing track. Because they just have they have one guitarist, they have one bassist. There's no keyboardist. It's all, most of that's coming through. They do the thing that does kind of bother me with some live bands where, if I watch the guitarist, and with the exception of the guitar solos that come in here and there, I watch them and I feel like I could play these fucking songs, which slightly derogatorily.
You probably can, to be honest, but yeah, I guess that's right. The divide between us, old head power metal, everything should be virtuosic and super hard to play. But that's not the reality for the most popular bands right now.
Yeah. And so you just kind of got to lean into the silly pirate vibes and the sing-along stuff. They do make people do... I don't like that they actually ask people to do a row pit. I feel like that should just happen spontaneously.
Nah, you have to ask people.
But they ask for it.
It depends on how you do it, right? That's the true what it is to be a proper showman and a proper front person, if you want, in the stage. How do you direct the people so that they don't feel like they are just taking orders, but that they are following along with you?
I think the crowd is eager to do it for the most part, even though, because they want to do the silly metal show stuff that they see on the TikToks and whatnot. But it's...
You think it's performative rowing is now, we are in the era of performative
the performative males and their performative row pits. What does the world come to?
Post irony. It just eats itself back up.
One other little thing that like gets me about Visions of Atlantis. So I first saw them in 2020 when they opened for Dragon Force. This was before the whole switch to the pirate thing. And I felt like the Dragon Force crowd at that show had like zero interest in them. It was a very dead crowd. But this thing that Visions of Atlantis does is in between songs, they'll do this like trying to be like emotional or like heartfelt, like talk that's kind of difficult to understand. And then it'll end with like the last sentence will end with the name of the song that they're playing. And I feel like the way they do it is like they're expecting people to be like super hyped by the name of the song that's upcoming, but nobody ever responds to it.
Oh no, nobody knows the name of the song.
And like that happened in the before times when they weren't as big, but they still do that same style of stage banter and like that same bit now. And it was weird to see that through line between these two like seemingly very different eras. And so I just found that fascinating with my overanalyzing live show.
I don't think it's overanalyzing. This is the correct level of analysis. Please.
That's why you listen to the podcast.
That's why people listen to the podcast, for your nuanced takes on stage performance.
Exactly. You know, I've been to hundreds of live shows at this point. I might as well pay attention to these
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Did you have fun? Visions of Atlantis?
Yeah, I still had fun. Would I have enjoyed Fabio or even Hammerfall more? Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. At least you saw Fabio. So
yes.
you're not completely lost like in the water there. Like you had a taste.
No, I didn't just completely walk the plank there. I wasn't keelhauled or whatever. The Hailstorm tour is going on right now.
The Hailstorm is going on right now with Glory Hammer and Gleif. Go see it.
I am going to be going to the LA show, it looks like, next week. So that'll be cool.
Awesome.
We get into day two. Pretty solid day here. We're starting off with Alterium, another Italian power metal band. We actually saw Alterium at Epic Fest in 2024. It was like their second live show ever. So they hadn't really, I think, like fully come together and figured out their thing yet. Like, they didn't even have an album out at that point. Whereas now they do have an album out, and the band definitely felt a lot more cohesive to me this time. Overall, a pretty strong performance. I'd say as far as like, we need a solid opener doing mostly like, fast time power metal songs. This was pretty good. Their singer, I am used to seeing in like the Epic Fest elf getup at this point after all the Epic Fest stuff. So it was almost weird seeing just like normal, metal outfit wearing black, as people are known to do.
Yeah.
I got to say, the only thing that really brings me down with Alterium is they insist on playing their cover of Bismarck by Sabaton, which is like the most Sabaton song known to man. It's not even a good one. Why that one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird choice. I agree that it's a weird choice.
It's about like a German ship or something. I don't know. It's not a good song. It's really boring. And yet they insist on playing that one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, skip that. All their other stuff is good. And but I'm happy to see Alterium really kind of, forming together as a band after their first performance was charming, but I don't think they had like fully formed yet.
Well, they're growing, so we'll see where they go.
Definitely. All right, next, that brings us into Maestric. I don't remember exactly how to pronounce this.
One
but
of those.
It is a prog metal band. This is one I admit I don't remember as much on because it's been a few weeks. I wrote down that they had some funky rhythms and some heavy stuff and some technical issues.
Oh, no.
I don't remember any of those specifics, but I think they were fine.
Yes. Yeah, it's been too long. And this is tough journalism right here.
Look, I have never purported to be a professional journalist, okay?
Oh, no, me neither. We have never been paid, so we are not.
Which means if we've never been paid, that means we can't sell out and we can't have integrity to sell out. Is that how that works?
That's the loophole. That's the loophole. Like, none, all of the fun and none of the responsibility. Nah, we care, but, you know, my streak was probably cool. I assume.
Well, we will move on to ancients with two eyes in the middle because reasons.
Wow.
Yeah. A Canadian proggy mellow death style band. This was the first show at the festival this year that I would say really started to get into the more brutal stuff. The first one with a real right proper mosh pit going on. So this was a nice change of pace after, you know, we got the prog and the power, and it's like, hey, let's get a little mean, a little raw with it. So I had a really good time with this one. This was a cool set. I do think that when they lead into the sort of like long, like proggy experimental stuff, it does kind of kill the vibe of the like a little bit. But I guess it's nice to have a break, kind of sparse in there as well.
All right. Sounds cool. I'm not familiar with them, honestly. Maybe I'll check them out.
From Vancouver. Yeah.
Good old Vancouver. Seems to be
good old Vancouver. Next up, we get into November's Doom. The first band with a month in their name. Not the last.
Oh my God. Incredible. How about that?
Yeah. I'm not a doom metal guy. I turned this into a dinner band.
Okay. That's fair. Someone was going to be so, the dinner band.
For those who are not familiar with the Prog Power strategies, look, this is a four-day festival. You got a lot to go through. You got a lot of bands, a lot of partying. It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's what everyone will tell you. And a good way to make yourself last the 4 days is to choose your battles.
Yeah.
And that involves having a dinner band.
Yeah.
And that time, this one for me was November's Doom. I'm sure they're lovely people, but it's not November, so they were doomed.
Wow. You're probably looking forward to say that all these 2 weeks, I'm sure.
I just came up with that one on the spot. That's I'm a professional journalist, but okay, I can do this. That's called a callback. All right. Speaking of callbacks, let's talk about Vola, who also played at Prog Power a couple of years ago. So we're calling back to that. I think it's appropriate to call Vola Ultra Prog.
Yeah.
Because they are just the most, like, let's just get wacky with it. Let's just go big. This was one where, I might have mentioned this a couple years ago, they have an extra element with their whole stage performance that they just have these, like, a ton of extra, like, vertical light bar things that they'll bring out on stage.
Ooh.
And so everything is, like, synced up with those. And so it becomes more of like a, atmospheric light show in tune in time with all the prog metal stuff that's going on, which I think works well as a, let me just vibe out to this type of show.
Yeah.
So I wasn't super into it the first time, but I think going in with more like properly set expectations this time made me enjoy it more, which was helpful. And that ended up pretty well, I think.
Nice, nice. I would like to see them. I enjoy their progginess, and if they have a cool light show to go with it, even better.
Yeah, I was thinking they should just leave the lights up for the next, for like any other bands that come up after them.
Oh, you know how expensive those things are? You don't share them.
They took the effort to set them all up, and you're just going to tear them down an hour later? Yeah, no, leave them up there.
No, the other guys are going to break them.
Yeah, probably. All right. Now, we're getting into the headliner for day two, and we've got a legend of the genre, Sonata Arctica, coming in, and everyone's thinking, oh man, is this set list going to suck? Because the two times I had seen Sonata Arctica before this were on tours for the Ninth Hour in Talvio. Not Their finest hours, may I say.
No.
You know, still, you know, cool to see, but maybe not, you know, the most high energy stuff. You know, people saying, oh, Tony Kako, oh, he's getting old. He's sleepy. He can't do power metal no more. However, I am delighted to say the show is much more high energy. It had a lot of old songs, a lot of songs I honestly never thought I'd hear them play live. Tony, old man Tony, he was still giving it his all. The other band members are doing great too. I was thrilled with the Snow Arctica performance, I gotta say. You know, we're hitting stuff that I really never thought I'd hear live. Like San Sebastian's on there, Wolf and Raven's on there. You know, of course they do Full Moon, because of course they do Full Moon. You know, they Don't Say a Word is still the closer. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Even the newer songs, like, I think still fit well in there. And, you know, Flag in the Ground is a cool one. First, kind of like the middle of the career. I really love that one. So, I know Sonata Arctica are currently touring the U.S. They're trying to. Everybody is sick.
Everybody is sick. But it sucks.
But if there are any shows left that you're thinking about going to after this episode comes out, there might be a handful. If they hope, assuming they don't get all get canceled, then definitely go. If you're on the fence, being like, oh, I don't know, they're old and washed. Nope, they can still have it when they choose to, and it seems like they're doing that here.
This is probably the best moment to go see them if you haven't seen them in a long time or ever.
Yeah, definitely. Like I distinctly remember the last time I saw them, they were they were opening for Camelot, and I think Battle Beast was there too. As I was walking out of the show and then like going to like get an Uber, I heard just some random guy beside me say, "What the fuck was that Sonata Arctica set?" It's just lived in my head rent free since then.
Damn.
From the Talvio tour, because I'm like, he's not wrong. It was pretty low energy, except for when they play Full Moon because they have to, otherwise it'd be a riot.
Yeah.
But you know they're doing much better these days, which I'm. You know, couldn't be happier to report. Here. Yeah,
they're just not playing anything from Talvio.
No, they got three songs in Clear Cold Beyond, three Ecliptica, three Silence, 2 Days of Grace, some Reckoning, Nightstones, Grow a Name, and Winter Heart Guild on there.
Yeah.
So hey, you know, a good spread with a leaning towards more older stuff. Love to see it.
Love to see it.
All right. Day two down. You know, at this point, you know, you're starting to feel it, but you're gonna push on. We're going to push on to sometime in February, which was actually in September.
That
which,
is a wild name. About
yes.
That is a like almost a pop punk / emo band name sometime in February.
It is a strange name. I believe they were a prog band from, I want to say, Ohio, if I remember correctly. And it's instrumental prog. This was... a different instrumental prog band was the one from Ohio. Excuse me, we'll get to that later. My notes are
wow.
All right, instrumental prog going on with sometime in February. I remember thinking that there was a lot going on, like a lot of different styles going on for like a pretty small group. They even had some surprise saxophone appearance. Not the first saxophone of the day either. We'll get into that too. Which, you know, a wild time here at Prague Fire this year.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I'm blanking on the rest of sometime in February. So I'm going to majestically move on to the next band, which might just happen to be Majestica.
Smooth. Very smooth.
Thank you. Now, Majestica is one that I was among the bands I was most looking forward to for the festival this year. After making the strategic decision to skip them in favor of Terra Atlantica at Epic Fest.
Yeah.
Because their Prague Power visas got approved literally the day of. So I'm like, okay, I can probably roll the dice and see them at Prague Power.
It worked out.
And I'm glad I did. Yes, nice. It all worked out. Majestica are just like, a pure feel-good power metal band. This was by far one of my favorite shows of the festival, even though the sound mixing was absolutely whack at the start of the show. Like, I think it was like the very first chorus of the opening track. When like one of the like backing vocals came in, it was absurdly loud and just like blew the everyone's ears out. On top of metal show was already pretty loud.
No.
There were some, like, I think there were some parts where, like, guitar solos had, like, the wrong guitar turned up, so you couldn't actually hear the guy.
Oh, no.
So, you know, yeah, it was a little wonky at first. I think they kind of sorted it out as it went on. And, but overall, I love this style of power metal. You know, Tommy is basically like a legend in the power metal community these days, I think. He's got to be one of the most prolific dudes out there with all the stuff he does for his YouTube channel and the various bands and projects he's a part of, Majestica being his main one. I believe Majestica was supposed to play Prague Power like a decade ago when they were still Rain Z, but something fell through. So this has also been a real long time coming for them to pull this off. I was thrilled to get to see that.
Nice.
There were some little things with their performance that kind of stood out to me that all just kind of makes the band really feel like really in sync and just make that little extra bit of like experienced professional musicians. Like during the Power Train song, one of the lyrics says Crazy Train. And given recent events, I'm pretty sure Tommy put like a little extra sauce when he sang that part on the live show, which I thought was appropriate. Or even just like a little thing during one of the later songs when like one of the lyrics is just like the word steel. Everyone in the band just like stops and does a quick sign of the hammer on the word steel. And it's just, great. You know, immediately moves on from it.
Great.
No acknowledgement.
That's great.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I wasn't expecting it at all. But I'm just like, oh man. Okay, these guys have got it. Got that, you know, that eye for detail.
That's good showmanship. That's
exactly.
Good stuff. Yeah, that's the stuff.
Yeah, it's one of those where everyone on stage just looks like they're having a great time. And that also then radiates out to the audience. And then on top of all that, it was the other guitarist is, I think they said his 40th birthday. And so they brought out a cake on stage for him.
Incredible.
And sang him all that. So, you know, they really leaned into, you know, just everyone's having a good time there.
That's power metal right there.
They played my two least favorite Majestica songs kind of like early on in the set. So everything after that was great. You know, and we finished strong.
Just get it out of the way for the rest
of
the people so Kyle can enjoy.
Yeah, so Kyle can enjoy the whole back half of the show. No bullshit. And as they were wrapping up the show, they had set up the last song to be Metal United. And I was like, oh, that's a shame. They aren't going to play Alliance Forever. I really like that song. And that's got like such a strong chorus. But like as they finish Metal United, they do play a little bit of Alliance Forever, which is kind of a long song. Playing like, you know, a minute and a half or whatever at the end just to like get one more good chorus in there is also nice as well.
Nice. They got you. They thought they were not going to do it, but they did it.
Yeah, they got me. One of the other little things was they're getting towards the end of the set. They're like, okay, what Majestica song do you guys want to hear next? And I think most of the people there said Above the Sky, which their Eagle Fly Free ripoff.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's great, because the next song is Above the Sky. So then they launch into that. And, you know, that's a great one. That one hits.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
And I'm just like, why isn't every power metal song just Eagle Fly Free? It's great. But anyway, yeah, like I said, power metal, pretty good. Love to see it. Which is why we're going to then transition from, you know, the happy good times of Majestica into what I call the brutal block. With the next two bands leaning more into, you know, your more brutal, your more growly types of metal. Starting off with Bellacore, which I'm hoping I'm saying right.
Yeah, that's right.
An Australian mellow death band. Of the various brutal bands this year, I think Bellacore are my favorite. This was the one that had me jumping in the pit the most. This was just a really aggressive performance, and I don't really have too many notes other than this kicked ass.
Nice.
I highly recommend Bellacore. I think an Aussie friend of ours just bought tickets to check him out. I'm like, hey, good move.
Good move. Yeah. That's the influence. That's the Kyle influence.
Am I an influencer?
Yeah, you just
told, power metal influencer Kyle, dude.
You just told someone, hey, this band from your country is good. Go listen to it, and they bought a ticket. So,
well, no, he already did buy the ticket. I was just affirming his choice.
I thought it was your thing. Oh no, then you're
no.
I retract all my comments.
That's fair. I'm pretty sure it was the Bellacore set where I like turned around and right there was Jake from Aether Realm. Yeah, just get, as I'm getting jump scared. That is the thing about prog power is a lot of the like American musicians will just kind of show up there. So if there's American power metal bands that you're a fan of, or you know, power adjacent, there's a chance you can just run into them there. Like that, like I said, the Paladin guys are usually there because you know they're involved with various projects or just being local. Or I know of Seven Spires people I've seen there before, and then this time it was Aether Realm. So why not? Sometimes the other bands will just be like wandering the halls, and you can run into them too, which is cool. I think it was like Aries Ascendant I saw, and Alterium going around. So it's always cool just to say, you know, hey, that was a cool set, man. Outside of the like official signing sessions and whatnot.
Yeah, it's very nice that they foster that that culture or that vibe that everyone that is also playing is also attending the festival. And that's
yeah,
really cool.
So when they aren't just like dipping out, sometimes they have to because they're just part of a tour and, you know, that happens.
Yeah, of course.
But I like it when they can feel more involved.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then after Bellacourt, we had Rivers of Nihil or Nihil. I'm not sure how they say that, but this was leaning into even more like brutal heavy metal. less on the mellow side of mellow death, and just being almost like straight like tech death. With the exception, this was the real curveball to their set. Several times throughout the whole thing, dude comes out rocking the saxophone.
Incredible.
You might be like, and he will like be doing the saxophone, headbang a bit, and some more saxophone. So, and this wasn't just like a 30-second gimmick during one song. Like, no, I lost count of how many times the dude came out to play saxophone during the set.
Nice.
Which was shocking to me. How much saxophone was integrated into all of this?
That sounds awesome.
On top of just like the brutal tech death.
That sounds awesome. I gotta check it
out.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, this was very unique. I did not know this was going to be happening, that I'd have death metal saxophone in my life. But I'm glad I did. This was a cool show.
Nice.
All right. So, Fernando, you know how between the prog and the power, I'm not as into the prog side of things in general?
Yeah.
Well, the next band has the word prog in their name.
Yes.
It's the Progject. And I'm like, wow, I'm going to go get dinner.
Damn, that just like that. No, just like that. Not a single second of consideration.
No, I'm like, hey, if I'm hungry, I want to take a break. This is the easiest dinner band decision for me.
Incredible. What a shame.
So I'm sure they're lovely people. I think this was kind of one of those like sort of last minute, we need to get people together type of things. So it might have been a cool show, but
Dude, I'm looking at the set list, and I cannot believe. I mean, I assume they are good because this is a covers band, and
yeah.
all of these things are just medleys of multiple songs of prog bands, which sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Like they open with Emerson, Lake and Palmer. They play a Rush medley, a Yes medley, a Genesis medley, a King Crimson's medley. My God, this is
yeah,
awesome.
Exactly. It is one of the most prog things ever prog. I didn't see that part, but I am glad the set list of him has a very accurate representation of them here.
I would have seen them. I would have stayed for that.
Well, you can come next year.
I will not be coming next year. That's not happening.
And he says, I'm mean. All right.
Come on. You know, the world is complicated. Right now.
Yeah. Would you say that there's an order of fear?
Wow. No one like that. This is why we do the podcast for this, this thing that just happened. Oh my God.
Well, without further ado, the next band is Ordnungen. They were the day three headliner, a pretty big name power metal band these days. And you know, people are really into them. They do a good show. They had played Prog Power a few years ago, and I think we saw them at Epic Fest as well. Overall, I know I always like their shows. But this one, a little different, a little unique.
Hmm.
And you might be wondering, oh, what's so weird about this show? It's just, you know, it's just a power metal band. Well, the day of, it was announced that their lead singer was sick and not able to perform, which is, you know, difficult when you have a headlining show to do. It's like, oh no, are they going to like just cancel? Are they going to get somebody to fill in? What are they going to do? And luckily they made it work in the sense that everybody else performed and they used a live track of lead singer Siebe. I don't know if it's Siebe or Sabe. I'm not sure exactly how they say it. But, you know, so live instruments, but the lead vocals being on the backing track from a previous live performance that he had done. And you might think this might be kind of weird and awkward and a bit of a shit show. And you're kind of right. but it also mostly worked. There was a couple songs in, they had to like completely like restart everything because like it was out of sync with what they were doing. And it was just became like a whole mess where I think like the drummer kept playing, but then everybody else stopped and it was weird. But then they restarted the song from the start and played it through properly with the vocals going.
This
definitely made for, yes, it made for a very unique show. They had Siebe's outfit, like his stage clothes, like put on like a mannequin with like a balloon that they drew a face on and like could wheel it around the stage and interact with it and do like stupid bits with and like make fun of him. So, and like all of the stage banter, all of the like, you know, front man duties had to be all like basically improvised by the dudes who are not used to needing to do the stage banter improvisation. So having them step up made this a very unique and entertaining show.
Yeah, it's really a unique show. This is very interesting because this is a very rare thing. We have a data point for something that has been historically and currently very contentious in metal and maybe in power metal right now, which is people have so many backing tracks. There's bands that always have now it's in standard in all music to have fallout tracks. So if you are singing and the singer loses it, like they can perform whatever, you have a live track, which is what they use here. But this is the extreme case. Like, from what I've read, the dude didn't even make it to the venue. He didn't travel at all.
I think he was too sick to travel.
Yeah. So they were just decided, okay, we have the track. We tell the people, we put the little fun mannequin and try to make it work and just make it about the band. And now the vocals are fully in the backing track, which usually is the main thing. But I guess at least there's a band there. So there's still, how many are there? Like four more people?
Yeah, something like that.
And so it's not like truly a total loss. They are still performers. It's not all just about the vocalist. So it's pretty cool that we have. Like, sorry, I feel bad for this guy, for Sev, how are you? Sorry, we don't know. For missing a show like this, for being so sick, it sucks. Especially when it's a big show.
Really, I want to give props to the other band members and Prog Power for just finding a way to make it work.
Yeah.
As, you know, making the best of a very shitty situation. Where I think in a lot of situations, the band might have just completely canceled. Like, it was probably too last minute to get like a complete headliner show vocalist fill in. Like, yeah, they have tons of other vocalists just around, but filling in for an entire set.
This is like Nightwish.
Day of.
You know, the story of Nightwish. Yeah.
When they had like 2 days to do the entire set or something.
Yeah, and they just split it between the different vocalists that were on tour with them. Two people, right? But this is very interesting because they made that decision. Because like we just mentioned that right now at the time of recording this episode, Sonata has canceled shows during the tour because everyone got sick.
Some people said it was just Tony, but I think it was more than Tony.
The whole band got sick, but they started canceling when it hit Tony and he lost his voice. And that's when they said, okay, we cannot do it because that's what we consider is the most important part, right, of the show. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm a bit under it.
They got you too.
They got me too. The Glory Hammer was also sick. Like a week ago, they didn't get that bad that they canceled, but they were really having a rough time. And here we see a choice that was made that is not normal, that's not usual, that is pretty brave, I say, to say, okay, let's try to make the best of this in this. We have the tracks, let's just try it. And hopefully the crowd was receptive to it, right? Like, I know, yeah, it feels sad. It was really awkward to begin with, but hopefully it got going nice.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward, but I think everyone is just happy to, you know, make the most of it at that point. Now, I'm pretty sure when Ordnogan played Prog Power a few years ago, they had another, like, weird lineup issue where, like, one of the guitarists couldn't play, and then Sieb had to pick up extra guitar duties. They, like, swapped in a different bassist, or there was something going on with the members. So apparently they're just fucking cursed.
Yeah, sounds like a classic curse, yeah.
Yeah, but both times they've made it work, so, you know, big shout out to them for that.
That's crazy.
Exactly. See, you're getting it. You're getting it. All right. Then we will move on to the final day, to day 4. This one kicked off with Lux Terminus. How about that, having a band with Terminus in their name on the last day? Now, this is the instrumental prog band from Ohio.
Oh, okay.
And this was a very interesting show because they didn't have a guitarist.
Ooh.
It was, they had a bassist and, you know, they had a keyboard, but no actual guitarist. And, like, wow, that's a lot of work, you know, musically for the, you know, guitarist or for the bassist and keyboardist to fill in. And, you know, I gotta say, they made it work. This was, like, the most, like, high-energy keyboard player I've seen. The bassist was, you know, really going for it, too. This was cool stuff.
Nice.
I gotta say. Yeah, I was rather pleasantly surprised with how this show turned out. The keyboard player, I thought he looked really familiar. It turns out, I think these were the guys that helped fill in for Damian Wilson's band last year. Like, that's why he looks familiar.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's what I heard.
Okay. So,
there, you know, the Prog Power connections there, you know, as they I assume these guys were a fill-in band at some point. Like I said, I stopped paying attention to lineup announcements.
Yeah, I get it. That's cool.
So
it's very interesting.
Yeah, Lux Terminus were very good.
Very interesting to have a band with no guitar in this context.
For sure.
Because, like, I don't know what's more. I guess not so much right now, but like we mentioned before, power metal and prog in general used to be like guitar centric, like guitar, vocals, everyone else.
And yeah. Then just everyone else just go fast.
Yeah. That's cool. It's cool that it was good. I'm going to check them out.
Yeah. Or even just like look up videos from this of a live show with them, because it's, you know, it's not what you normally expect from a metal show.
Nice. Cool.
All right. And then next up we have Night Demon, a heavy metal band from Ventura, California, which practically makes them local to me, relatively speaking. Now, these guys might seem a bit familiar because they opened for Blind Guardian on their tour here last year.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I'd seen them twice before on that tour, and now this will make a number 3. And it was kind of funny to just have, like, pretty much a normal heavy metal band after all of the various things that we've encountered on the Prog Power journey so far. You know, not really falling into the power metal camp, and more just like, you know, traditional heavy metal, throwing in some speed metal here and there. And this is one where I was just like, you know, it's almost like a palate cleanser to have normal heavy metal.
Nice. No, it's fine. Which it keeps you grounded, right? It brings
exactly.
you back from all the craziness.
Yeah, exactly. Especially after like the weird prog show before it. Now, this one, I'm pretty sure this was the band where, like, during the last song, one of the guitarists just came out into the crowd and was just, like, playing while in the crowd.
Oh.
Which, you know, always love the hype moments like that. Mm. The parts where Night Demon kind of lose me is when they do shift into this, like, slower, like, spookier ambiance style of thing. Mm. And then, like, maybe they have their... It is kind of neat that they have this, like, Grim Reaper-looking dude, like, come out on stage. But they don't really do much with him. He's just kind of there. So I'm not sure what the intention is supposed to be with that move, because they don't really do much interaction with him.
The Night Demon,
he's more of a Grim Reaper kind of guy. He's got like a skull.
What do you call it? A sleep paralysis demon just lurking?
Maybe not. I don't know. I don't think it's supposed to be that.
I don't even know what you saw, so I'm just...
I think it's just the vibes thing.
Oh, well. But
anyway, that'll bring us on to Saigon Kick. This is an odd one. So Saigon Kick is like an old hard rock band, is kind of how I'd classify them. They have kind of recently come back to life with Jeff Scott Soto on vocals.
Of course.
Jeff Scott Soto, yeah, it's not prog talk, but Jeff Scott Soto.
Yeah.
He's one of their guys, you know. He seems to always have some unique thing going on there. And with this show, like, it honestly felt more like the Jeff Scott Soto comedy hour than a metal show.
That's every show that he does.
Yeah, because there's a lot of in-between banter, you know, like him and the guitarist, like ribbing each other. Like, they had like Photoshop versions of like the band logo coming up on the projectors. So instead of Saigon Kick, it said Soto Kick. And then it would shift back when they were, you know, talking shit about Jeff Scott Soto. So, like I said, a whole comedy routine, basically, that happened to have some hard rock in between the jokes.
That's fine.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of weird. Sure. But that's how this year has been going. Okay.
Mm.
We're just going to roll with it. And it's gonna get weirder. So just
really? Stick with me. Damn.
It will. Next up is Cemetery Skyline, my last dinner band of the festival. My apologies to them. I think some people said that they were good, but you know, I had to go get food.
Okay, understandable.
Yeah, I was meeting up with a friend of mine who I don't get to see in person very often. He recently moved to Atlanta, so you know, I was like, okay, I'll make time. This is the most sacrificeable band at a dinner appropriate era, so we're gonna go with that.
You are such a good friend.
Thank you. All right, now let's, you know, take this scalding criticism into scald.
Oh my
the
God.
Other form of scald.
You're really going with all these, sorry, but you're just acing all these transitions.
We've been doing this for years,
but,
man.
But you know, these are so, like, I don't remember so many good ones, one after the other. And by good ones, I mean absolutely atrocious.
That's what I live for.
So it's fine. All right. Scald.
Yes. So when this band was announced last year, Glenn had kind of been hinting that there's going to be, like, one that everybody just says, like, what the fuck to. And that was this. Because Scald is not a metal band. They're just, like, a folk band, just like pure, like dark atmospheric folk, you know, like fucking like Witcher soundtrack, type of stuff. Do you know the band Heilung? They're kind of like that.
Okay.
I
know Skald, not
fair enough. The thing that gets me about these guys is they're doing all of this, like, Viking and like Nordic inspired stuff. This band is from France. They're not Vikings.
That's fine.
Just ignore that.
It's just like that Swedish band that does Japanese folk metal.
Yeah.
Whisper or the Argentinian band that does European folk in Germany.
It does happen. It's just very funny to me. But this was an interesting show, just in that it's so unique and so different compared to everything else. And, you know, it's been such an odd year at Prog Power that it's like, fuck it, throw some weird folk stuff in there. Glenn can do what he wants because he's about to retire. So overall, it is cool just to see that they're able to handle a show with all just the multitude of different instruments that are going on here, with the every kind of percussion imaginable, various old stringed instruments, and I think there was like a didgeridoo or something in there at one point. I don't even know. There's a lot going on here. It's arguable that an hour and a half of this was maybe a bit more than I needed, because, you know, that's how long the second to last shows are going to be going here. They even did the whole, like, fake leave the stage and come back to do a couple encore songs thing, which I feel like if you're not the last band is kind of inappropriate to do, but whatever.
I mean, if it's a long set, it's fine. Like, they played 21 songs.
Yeah. It's, like I said, it was a lot. And it's not like you can really differentiate between the songs, because it's all, it all kind of smushes together with, like, the, because you can't really parse any of it. You're just kind of letting it all wash over you. But hey, it was a unique show, and I'm glad I got to see it.
Nice, yeah. And I had to check, and there is actually a didgeridoo.
Okay, so I was right. You I did remember right. that correctly.
Yep, yeah, yeah. It's very interesting. Very cool.
Yeah, the I was thinking, so for whatever reason, a whole lot of like video game soundtrack concerts are happening this fall. One of which is a Witcher one. And I was thinking, oh, now that I've seen this, maybe I don't need to go see the Witcher show.
My God.
It's going to be pretty similar vibes in terms of like the style of music here.
I cannot believe you think like this, man. Come on. Like, did you like it or not? If you
like it,
you can see more of it. It's like saying, no, I watched One Prog Power. I don't need to see any other power metal show.
That's me justifying not making another drive to Los Angeles in the middle of the week. Okay. We'll find excuses. I'm going to go to the Final Fantasy one. Okay.
Okay. That one's worth
that
it.
That should be cool.
Yeah. That wins.
Cause like there's like the Witcher one. There is a Final Fantasy one. I think Elden Ring's doing one. And, did I say Death Stranding? That's doing one. And, of all those, the one I'm confirmed for is the Final Fantasy one. So we will, which I think of all of those is also kind of like the most like legendary music wise.
I've seen the Distant Worlds tour back in,
yeah, it's that one,
forever ago, and it was incredible.
Incredible.
So, and Nobuo Uematsu was there and he played two songs and he was so woo, yeah.
Okay, so hey, if you're gonna be at the Sacramento Final Fantasy show, you know, your boy will be there.
Yeah.
Actually, there's two of them, so I'm going to be at the later one.
Go find
out. Anyway, at the Sacramento Performing Arts Center.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are wrapping it up. The last band was Symphony X, which I think I mentioned before, but I really do enjoy when the final band kind of encompasses both prog and power in, like, you know, equal-ish measure, just to kind of cap off the whole thing, make everybody happy. And I think Symphony X does a really great job with that.
Yeah.
I had never seen them before. They tour a lot. I just always happen to miss them. And I was very happy to finally be able to see them here. They play a lot of good stuff from like some of their classic albums. They had a lot of Divine Wings on there, a lot of Five. You got some Paradise Lost, some Odyssey. And, I'm basically dead by the time the last band plays, but it's cool to just get bit more power metal in there. Their vocalist just, you know, easily captivates the crowd. It's one of those where you can just tell, you know, he's got them just in the palm of his hand. It's like effortless, you know, charisma up there. Everybody loves it. So, Symphony X, they're the ones who I think are headlining the tour with Sonata Arctica. So that's a good show. I gotta say, if you're getting Sonata and Symphony X back to back, I would definitely
That sounds cool.
Recommend. That's a good show, mm-hmm. especially with having now seen both of these guys at the festival and having them both be like my favorite of their respective day. You know, you can't go wrong.
Nice. Also, it's interesting, and this is something that we were looking at while you were at Prog Power talking with our friends. Symphony X has played 5 times in Prog Power. It's one of the bands that that's been repeated the most. So they are like very much part of the festival.
Yeah, I think this year, and then we'll discuss with next year, a lot of it is kind of getting the bands in who have legacy with the festival, like basically just being like Glenn's buddies are getting in there for one last ride. And I think we will. I think we can take a look at that as we look at the bands for next year. So overall, this year, despite all of the issues with visas and technical stuff and yada yada, you know, it's always a great time. You know, every day I'm seeing bands I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to see. Some really strong performances. There's always great surprises. And that's just, you know, that's prog power for me. And then, you know, I go and we have our after party that, you know, that you're out till 3 or 4, whatever it is in the morning, having drinks. The dude this year brewed this like Sonata Arctica sangria that was really tasty.
Cool.
So, you know, that's the community spirit right there.
Yeah. Damn. That's cool.
If I had to pick like my favorites, I think I would like from each day, I'd probably say Secret Sphere, Sonata Arctica, Majestica, and then Symphony X at the end there. You might say, wow, those are like the most power metal-y bands of all. And I'd say, wow, you're totally right.
What a
surprise. Imagine
that.
What a surprise on the Power Metal Podcast.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a list here of the bands for next year. So they're kind of goofy the way they do the announcements these days. So they'll have days 3 and 4 as one video. And then on the next day, they have the day 1 video. And then like one band or two bands later, they had the day 2 video. Why they didn't just combine those, I have no idea. But oh well. I think for us, we'll just go through day 1 through 4 in order as opposed to announcement order.
Yeah, let's be as normal as we can. I assume the order is, I cannot tell who is the headliner of each day on this list.
The headliner is they're on the bottom.
Okay. That is so confusing.
So, they're in order of the when they will play in our reference material here.
Good. So next year for what is the final prog power of, let's call it the Glenn era, because
of
it's
the
obviously
Glenn, yeah, the Glenn era.
It's gonna continue, but under different management and everything. So it's an important one. Wednesday day 1. Which is the non-Glenn day.
So the first 2 days aren't run by Glenn. It's, you know, it's Nathan and then Milton, who are then going to take over afterward for the broader festival.
Yeah. So we're going to have the Reticent from the US, Noveria from Italy.
I got to say, when the Reticent was announced, I thought I was being fucking trolled. Now, you may remember, I think like a couple years ago, the Reticent opened Prog Power then, and I described it as like the most depressing show I've ever seen.
Wow.
Because this is like maximum sad boy depressing prog, and I'm like, you know, I appreciate that for what it is, but it feels like a strange way to open the festival. And now here we are, just a few years later, they're doing it again, and I'm like, what the fuck, Nathan? Why are you doing this to me? I don't want to start my exciting festival all sad.
Oh, these are the guys that made the Oubliette. Now I know them. Okay, I listened to that album. That is a downer in general.
And then they have like the accompanying videos, and the guy was like talking about like his dad's terminal illness. Like it's a heavy show, and not necessarily in the way you want.
Yeah, because the Oubliette is about an Alzheimer's patient, and it's like a whole thing. Yeah, I remember listening to this whole thing. Yeah, that's
so
a choice for opening, but whatever.
And let's do it again. Like I said, I felt like I was being trolled.
Yeah, specifically.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. Then we move into Noveria from Italy. Now, I haven't listened to much of Noveria, but the bits I've heard are pretty good. I know a friend of mine is very excited for them, so I think they'll be a good one to look forward to.
Nice.
That follows up with Fabio Leone's Dawn of Victory.
The revenge.
Hopefully
it happens.
The revenge. Yes, hopefully it happens. I'm kind of surprised they weren't headlining because they were supposed to headline this time. I like the band that's headlining, but I would prefer Fabio to be headlining, but whatever. It'll be a good show regardless. I think they said they're doing Dawn of Victory in full.
Nice.
So I assume they'll take most of the show and then, you know, toss some Emerald Sword in there at the end for, you know, for the fans, for the people, one for the boys.
Yeah.
If they don't play it, we'll just sing it ourselves, probably.
I don't think Fabio can do a show without singing that song. It's illegal.
I'm sure.
Like, people will riot.
Exactly. We have Threshold is also coming in there for band four. I'm not as familiar with them. And then we're closing off day one with Enciferum, the folk metal band from Finland, who I'm going to be seeing this year opening for Blind Guardian.
Nice. So
when I saw them get announced, I'm like, oh, does this mean maybe Blind Guardian will come around for day two or something? That didn't happen.
Come on,
which was sad. I tried to manifest it.
Yeah.
But I saw Enciferum back before COVID. That was a great show. That was super high energy. I really love that one. So I'm looking forward to this as well. Then on day two, we are starting with with Fires in the Distance from the US of A. I'm not as familiar with them, but I know a friend of mine was super excited for them. I think they're kind of mellow deathy. So we'll just, you know, start off the day with some brutality. Then we have Scardust from Israel, a symphonic metal band that I've dabbled in, and they've got some cool stuff. I think this should be a good show as well.
Cool.
After that, we have Terra Maze, a prog metal band from Australia. I'm not as familiar with them, but I know other people were excited, so I will coast off of them there as well. This is followed up with Elven King, folk metal band from Italy. We're getting a decent amount of Italy next year. This should be fun. Italian Revenge, assuming it doesn't 2019 again. So I quite like some Elven King, and they've said that for this set, they're focusing on a couple of their older albums, Heathen Reel and The Winter Wake. The Winter Wake being the album that actually originally got me into Elven King. So this is super exciting for me to have them focusing on that.
Nice.
I really enjoyed their show by Prog Power a couple years ago. I just assumed I'd never get to see them again because I thought that was going to be like a one-off. But I don't know. Here we go. And I think usually they might play some songs from their other good albums too. So I think this will be a really cool show. And then we have Conception.
Double dipping, you know,
Roy
here,
Khan,
right?
Roy Khan round one, I'll say. Double dipping in what way?
That Roy... We'll get to it. Yeah, but we'll it's Roy Khan's band. Conception is Roy Khan's band.
Yes, Roy Khan's prog metal band. It performed a couple of years ago, and are bringing it back. They're not my favorite in terms of style of music, but Roy Khan is, you know, great, and I'm happy to see him as well. We'll be getting a bit more of him as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And then headlining day two is Eluveidi. It's interesting to me that we've got folk metal bands headlining both days one and two. I thought it was funny that happened that way. But I've seen Eluveidi live a couple times, and they're great. It's cool getting the different vocal styles, all the different folk instruments going. Their shows are very exciting. I am pleased with that as well.
Nice.
That leads us into day three. So these are the actual Glenn ones. So this is basically just going to be his buddies or things that he's a big fan of. We're starting with DGM from Italy, which is a prog power band that I've dabbled in, and I know they're pretty good, so I think this will be a very strong start to day three. Then we have Brainstorm, I believe from Germany. I am not familiar with them. So
me neither.
I don't have a lot. It's followed by Crimson Glory, very classic band, who I believe we saw at Epic Fest this year.
Yes.
And were rather pleased with. And then we're bringing in Hammerfall, you know, like the power metal band of all time. You know, and so all the ones that canceled from this year, you know, we're bringing them back around. We'll get
attempting,
them in there for the last
least.
One. Attempting.
Yeah.
Like Hammerfall, they should be able to get in, right? Well, I'm not taking nothing for granted these days.
I don't know, man. It's so tough.
Yeah. This is followed up with Nevermore, who is an American band. So they should be fine. There is at least one American band every day on here,
yeah,
which might call that a fallback option. So, hey, you know, save a little bit of money, but it is mostly Europe and beyond. And then we've got Evergrey coming in here for a bit of Tom England. I'm not the biggest Evergrey fan, but I know they're very well established within Prog Power. So that should go over well as well.
Cool. And then we have day four.
Day four starts off with Sunburst, I believe, from Greece. This is a band I think best known for being the one that kind of sounds like Camelot. Having a guy that sounds like Roy Khan.
Okay. Okay.
So you go. So we have Conception a couple days or like before this, and which is Roy Khan's prog band. Then we have Sunburst, which is like a fake Roy Khan band. And then we have Seven Spires is the second one up on day four, who are also obviously inspired by
Camila
Jr. Roy Khan's work. Camelot Jr., who will presumably have him do a guest spot, hopefully. Maybe on a song, hopefully. Because that was really cool when they did that before.
Yep.
And then what if immediately following that, they just had a Roy Khan set?
Yeah.
Where he's going to be playing the Black Halo and have Seven Spires be his accompanying band.
It's just perfect. Perfect.
I'm surprised that they're doing it twice in a row there.
It's just next. It's not two sets. Clearly, it's just a longer set for Roy Khan and friends, which I think is great. I think it's great. It's cool to see Roy touring as his solo self doing the Camelot stuff, because a lot of fans love that. And of course, Conception has fans and they do cool stuff. But I know a lot of people are like going crazy, like, you, Camelot, like, that Roy Khan from when I was a teenager listening to this thing, oh my God, I need to go see it.
You see, this is the move for a lot of these like kind of like classic power metal guys. So like Edgy Falashi was doing some Temple of Shadows stuff. You know, Fabioloni's got his Dawn of Victory stuff. Now Roy Khan's like coming back with some Black Halo stuff. They're all finding like this market that they can exploit. And I am here for it. Exploit me, Daddy Khan. Let's do it.
It's hilarious that you mentioned Edu Falashi, because he has already done a show with Roy Khan in Brazil.
Last year.
And they actually did a show, and Adrian from Seven Spires was there as well for a show with Khan in Brazil, which was really cool.
It's all connected.
It's all connected, and I'm happy to see all these. I envy that section of day four. Actually, I envy day four a lot.
So Seven Spires, it's interesting. So they've actually played Prog Power twice before, but they've always been like last minute fill-ins. So they actually get like their own actual slot this time.
Yeah, yeah. They proved themselves as the substitutes, and now they actually have the first billing. I don't know.
Yeah,
what the term
I was surprised to see them in there, just because I feel like they're such a young band. To be filling in here, which is mostly
they are already
ones.
Growing. They're already growing. They just signed this week with a touring company that will manage them to tour in South America.
Hey.
So that should be coming hopefully very soon. They made the announcement this week that they signed that, which I expected since she played those non-Avantasia shows in Brazil, because she also was part of the Sonic Symphony shows, which had part of Angra playing, and everyone is friends with everyone, and it's awesome.
It's a small world, except for in physical space.
Yeah.
So I looked up when Seven Spires first played Prog Power. I think it was 2017, so the year before I started going. And like when you see the picture of them on stage, it's like, wow, they're such babies, because they would have been like early 20s or something at that point.
Right.
And so it's fun to see them, you know, coming up here. All right. After Roy Khan, we have Redemption. We're getting I believe that's the second helping of Tom England, which, you know, sure. He's one of those dudes who with a lot of legacy with the festival. So I think it makes sense to get him in there. And then after that, we have The Gathering, bringing in Annika von Giersbergen, who is a phenomenal vocalist. This is a very big deal here.
Another one I'm very jealous about. I just want to see that. I really would love to see that show. That is so cool.
Yeah. And then closing it out, finally, the last show for the Glenn Prog Power is Voyager from Australia. I think a lot of people were expecting Sabotage in this slot. I think that's the one that Glenn, that's been like Glenn's pipe dream for a gazillion years. I'm guessing that just didn't work out. But Voyager, they, if I remember correctly, they headlined day one.
Yes.
The year that we were there.
We were there. Yeah, we were there.
And that was a cool show. I remember being rather entertained by that one. So I'm very happy to see them doing one more here to close it out. That's a very legendary slot that they have been handed.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that that'll be a very special show.
Yeah. And they played Prog Power 3 more times before.
Yeah. So there you go. More, makes sense. More legacy.
Yep.
So I think overall it is a pretty strong lineup between all 4 days. There are some blind spots for me in there, some things that I'm, you know, just kind of okay on. But overall, I think it's going to be a good, very good time. They actually sold tickets for days 3 and 4 at the venue this year. And because things are super fun, buying the tickets at the venue means you didn't have to go through Ticketmaster. It didn't have Ticketmaster fees. And even though, I checked this, even though the base price of the ticket went up like $20, it was still, like, at the end of the day, like $50 cheaper than what I paid for days 3 and 4 this year without the Ticketmaster fees. So, yay for monopolies.
Man, it's a lot because also, like, the tickets are more expensive than ever before, right? From what I saw.
But I mean, they go up every year, but yeah.
Yeah. But I think it was a good move, a great move to do that because Prog Power is so much about the people that go year after year after all this time that keep going. So that giving them the people that are there that are going to go no matter what, that even if half the bands get canceled and replaced, they will still show up. Giving them the chance to get these tickets right on the day, a year in advance, helping the situation of the festival, obviously, because the more liquid they are, the better. And
definitely
getting a discount for that, I think that's great. I think that's a perfect way to do this, to reward the people that keep it alive, essentially.
Yeah, I like that as well. As like, it might be annoying to have like another thing to line up for on the day of, but I think it's totally worth it and it makes sense.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. And then we live in the ticketers world, which sucks. This happens a lot around the world, and it's awful. All the fees and the hoops and travels for the artist and for the organizers and for the client, for the customers, for the attendees. Like, it sucks. So having the chance to be able to do this for the true fans, I think it's great. It's great.
Yeah, and I think they're going to have more like online ticket sales soon-ish, but because they didn't like completely sell out the day that they did the in-person tickets. So it's all still out there for people who need it or want it.
Yeah. I don't think they would have been able to sell out immediately.
Because, I mean, because theoretically then it's like everybody at the show is, you know, buying a ticket and they're not all doing that.
It would have to be everyone buying tickets for all the days. Or I guess for those 2 days, everyone that was there the 2 days, there's no way that was happening, like realistically speaking. So it's not like all the tickets are gone. If you want to go, dear listener, go check it out. Go look for the online sales. Probably the Facebook page for Prog Power USA has all the news, the most up-to-date news.
Yep. And I think that'll do it for this here Prog Power episode. This will be the last travel log focused episode of Powerful for the year as well. It's your last chance to use that the same picture of me pointing at stuff from Epic Fest that you've been using in all the travel logs this year.
Yeah,
for the YouTube thumbnail.
Yeah, it's a nice picture. I have others, but
it's a picture.
Yeah, it's your, like, when I take pictures, you make that. You point to things, so it's your fault. I'm just capturing you in your natural state when you travel.
I suppose so. I haven't checked the stats on this, but I was wondering if, like, do the pictures with me in the thumbnail do better or worse than the ones without me in the thumbnail?
We don't have enough data to see.
Yeah.
We don't have enough views to compare.
I think overall, we can't really attribute anything to just that.
Not,
but it
right
would
now
be funny.
It would be hilarious, and I like, hopefully that happens, honestly. We'll see. Sorry. But yeah, that's all the trips for 2025. We are still going to shows though. Like Kyle is going to see Sonata.
Speaking of shows, fucking Love Bites announced a tour with the most eclectic collection of cities, including San Luis Obispo, which is a stupid fucking decision on their part, but it's great for me.
I think you're approaching this from the wrong side, because probably most of the shows that you never get, that you have to go to the big cities to, are the metal ones, power metal ones. And Love Bites is probably not getting there through the same channels and the same people. And that's why they get to your city, and you should embrace that and make sure, like, tell people to go to that show so they sell tickets so they come, they keep going and bring new runs.
Are the weebs from the Bay Area gonna drive down here then? Yeah, fuck them, I guess.
Yeah, but they will. Like, if anyone is gonna do that trip, are the weebs. So
yeah,
you gotta count on them.
Probably
count on those those numbers.
I was just watching a travelogue of someone who went to Japan like earlier today, and it's like seeing like the like tiny shows and like that they're going to. I'm like, oh, what a good time going to strange concerts in Japan. We should do that again sometime, Fernando.
We should do that
and not make content out of it.
And not, we technically didn't make any content out of it last time either.
Exactly.
But I am so easy to convince to go to Japan. It's so not financially responsible, of course. But you know, everything is up in the air right now for next year. We'll see.
We will see.
Going to random shows is a bit hard though, you know, getting tickets and all that. But we try. This is very cool. Another Proc Power under the sun. Looking forward to the next one, the big one, the end of the Glenn era. I hope that term catches and the Wikipedia mentions it. We should put it there.
The Glenn era.
Yeah, the Glenn era of Proc Power USA. And then the start of the next. We'll see if it's, I don't know if it's the Milton era or what it is. I don't remember.
Nathan and Milton.
Yeah.
Milton Nathan.
Yeah, that's a tough.
We'll work on it.
We'll work on it. Yeah, we need to workshop that.
The Wikipedia editors will work on it.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Hopefully they don't have issues. Hopefully all the lineup doesn't change that much. And if you want to go and you don't have tickets, go check it out. Plan your vacation to Atlanta. And if it can happen that maybe the lineup changes and maybe you get a bit disappointed, but hopefully as a whole package, it still makes sense if you decide to go. I think for most people, it's still always a net positive.
Yeah, even just for like the vibes, like on day one this year in particular, it's just kind of like cool seeing everybody just getting together for the first time in like a year or months or whatever it might be. And just so many people saying like, oh, hey, dude, and all the hugs and whatnot. You'll love to see it, the big reunion that it is. So, hey, we're going to keep trucking on, and you are going to stay powerful.
Stay powerful.